Are you looking for new books to read? Do you like finding a new special author? Are you tired of the same old books from the same old authors? Well then, welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where you can hear from fantastic new authors. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have worked hard to write great new books. Hear about their book and why you should check it out. So sit back and listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
Death Rattle by Michael Potts. 6-year-old Sonny opened the faded wood door to Grandpa George's bedroom. He was making his way to the back door to play outside. A sound escaped from the mouth of the skeletal, white-haired man in overalls lying on a brass bed. Sonny froze, fearing the sick sounds that reminded him of a TV monster's ravings. Sonny tried to walk, but his feet failed him. More echoed through the room, louder. Grandpa George moved his lips as if to speak, but mouthed only dry whispers. The chest heaved up slowly as Grandpa George's back arched. Each breath ended with a snake-like rattle. Sonny forced one foot forward, then the other. He picked up speed, retreated into the living room, and said, "Grandpa's not breathing right." "You know he's sick, Sonny," Mama said. "Ever since you were a baby, bad lungs. He don't ever breathe right. It's okay." Sonny stood motionless. Mama said, "Go on outside and play. Your grandpa's fine." Sonny stepped outside, letting the screen door slam shut. He walked under a large oak and lay down for a few minutes. He couldn't stay still and wanted to go inside and check on his grandpa, but he was still scared by those awful sounds. He darted to the well where Daddy was drawing water. The silver cylinder of the bucket dripped with cold water. "Want a drink? Cup your hands," Daddy said. He poured the icy water into Sonny's hands, and Sonny lapped it up, slapping some of it on his face. "Okay, one more," Daddy said. The cool water seeped the heat from Sonny's body. Then Mama opened the back door and called Daddy. "Joe, get inside. Something's wrong with Pa." Sonny's heart beat faster. Even though his folks lived with Grandpa George, Mama's daddy, Sonny had hardly talked to him. Grandpa George had been sick for as long as Sonny could remember. But today Grandpa George seemed to leak death from his body like a hiss from a punctured bicycle tire. When Sonny remembered Grandpa George's face, he could only think of rotting leaves and worms. Had death come to snatch Grandpa George away? Who would be next? Soon Sonny's curiosity got the best of him. He slipped open the back door, crept through the kitchen, and peeked inside the bedroom. Grandpa George grunted aloud, followed by a faint hiss of air. That happened 3 times until a rattle like the rustle of dead leaves escaped. It seemed to go on forever. Grandpa George's chest fell like a slowly collapsing balloon, finally staying still. Daddy felt for a pulse at the neck and then put his head on Grandpa's chest. "He's gone," Daddy said. He turned to Grandma Donna. "I'm sorry, Ma. I'll call the funeral home." Sonny backed away, sneaked out the back door, sat by the well, and waited. Then Mama opened the door and said, "Your grandpa was real old and sick. His body got tired, and he's gone to heaven." "You mean Grandpa's dead," Sonny said. Mama was quiet for a few seconds and said, "Yes, he is, but he's in heaven where he's strong again and where he'll meet Jesus." Sonny didn't reply. He didn't understand death, other than you'd never see anything that was dead again. But now he knew you got sick first and that horrible gasping sounds were part of it, and that your breath sounded like a rattle right before death came. As Sonny walked outside, a long black car pulled up. 2 men took something that looked like a bed inside. A few minutes later, they came out with Grandpa George's body, which they covered with a sheet. Sonny didn't remember much about the visitation and funeral, except that people cried a lot when some men closed the lid of the casket. 3 months after the funeral, Grandma died sitting in an old wooden rocking chair on the front porch. Grandma Donna said, "Nose is itching. Company's coming." Sonny laughed, since he didn't know what an itching nose had to do with someone coming to visit. He stopped laughing when he heard a car crackle through loose gravel in the driveway. Then an old, black, beat-up station wagon snaked its way around and parked by the coal pile. A large, black-haired woman with a blue dress got out and waddled to the porch. Sonny recognized his great-aunt Molly. "My, you have grown," she said as she hugged him to her humongous chest. He felt as if he'd smother, but Grandma Donna rescued him by walking outside and saying, "Hi, Molly, come on in and have some iced tea." Molly released her grip, and they all went inside. The women sat on the couch, and Sonny reclined on the tile floor by the electric fan, rolling around every few minutes to a new cool spot. He listened to Aunt Molly and Grandma Donna talk about people he didn't know, and he went outside to explore paths between trees in the front yard. He heard the back door slam and scampered around the house to say goodbyes to Aunt Molly. She hugged him goodbye and stepped into her car. Sonny heard the wah, wah, wah of the starter, but the car didn't start. She tried a long time. Then the car made another sound, which kept slowing down. Sonny remembered Grandpa George's gasp, and he fled inside the house. He lay down on the couch, buried his head in the cushion, and covered his ears. Sonny waited for that dying sound to stop. A hand touched his shoulder, and Sonny jumped. "What's got your goat?" Daddy said. "You act like a bobcat's on your tail." The engine turned over, and Sonny took a deep breath as Aunt Molly's car crunched gravel as it sped away. Sonny uncovered his ears. "The car sounded like it was dying," he said. "What'd you say?" Daddy asked. Sonny spoke in a low voice, sitting up but lowering his head. "It's a sick car." "Goodness, Sonny, I ain't heard the likes of that before. Molly's got an old car, and she ain't got enough sense not to give it too much gas. Chokes the car up, and it won't start for a while. Sound changes because the battery's getting weak." "Chokes," Sonny whispered. Daddy didn't appear to hear. "Ain't no need for you to worry about that," Daddy said. "Go outside and play on the tire swing." Sonny dashed to the backyard under the shade of two sugar maples. He grabbed the chain hanging from the tire from one of the tree branches and pushed his legs through the hole in the tire. He swung a few times, but the tire and its rubber smell reminded him of the dying car, and he jumped off, jogging through paths between bushes. He found a grove of cedars whose branches formed a canopy. He lay on the bed of needles, careful not to let them scratch. The cool shade and sound of the breeze lulled him to sleep and into a nightmare. In the dream, Sonny had been walking behind the house when he rose and floated above the trees. In the distance, Great Aunt Molly's black station wagon sat on the earth like a coffin. Sonny crossed the gravel drive. The car window opened, and he flipped onto his back, floated in, and sat on the driver's side seat. He grasped and turned the keys. The battery sang, "Wah, wah, 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 wah," but the car didn't start. Sonny tried to let go of the key, but his fingers froze. The battery weakened into an sound. Sonny's heart drummed. He kicked the car door while pulling the handle with his left hand. The door didn't budge. His right hand remained on the key, stuck. His fingers ached, and he started to cry. The last slow died into clicks. Sonny moved his hand, and the doors fell off. Rivers of brown rust crept across the car's body, sucking away the black paint. The body crumbled, leaving a framed skeleton that collapsed into a pile of parts that turned to dust. The wind blew the dust into a cloud that rose into a gray sky, then dispersed into nothingness. Sonny woke up with a scream. He stopped when he saw afternoon sunlight breaking through the trees, and he knew he was awake. Cedar needles bit into his back. Sonny crossed his arms tightly over his chest. If the car died in his dream, what would this mean? Would Aunt Molly die? Daddy? Granny? Maybe Sonny? His heart raced beneath his cross arms, and he felt grateful that it was still beating. Then he heard gravel crunch and saw a cloud of dust as a car entered the driveway. He released his arms when he noticed the car was his parents' blue Ford Falcon. He sighed with relief, ran to the car, met his parents, and hugged them. He helped them carry sacks of groceries into the house. Then he sat in the living room while Mama and Granny fixed supper. When Daddy came in, he told Sonny, "After supper, let's sit outside on the steps and talk." Sonny felt a lump in his throat. Despite the meatloaf, mashed potatoes, lima beans, and pecan pie spread across the table, Sonny wasn't hungry. But he forced down his food and waited for the dreaded talk with Daddy. By the time supper was over, it was getting dark. Daddy led Sonny out the back door to the concrete steps. The sky glowed orange-red, and heat lightning slashed a distant cloud. The first lightning bugs of the night flashed their yellow lights. Daddy put his hand on Sonny's shoulder. "Son, we all have things we're scared of. When I was a boy, I was scared of airplanes. I was afraid they'd crash on our house. I told Dad about it, and he took me to the old Sky Harbor across the street. Dad brought me to a pilot and took me on an airplane ride. I loved seeing the trees and houses from up high. I wasn't afraid of airplanes anymore." Sonny sat on the cooling concrete, watching the lightning bugs escape the grass as they glowed in the black sky. He said, "You want me to watch a car not start?" "Aunt Molly may flood her car, but you know it's always started," Daddy said. "Even if it clicks, she'll rest it a while. When she turns the key again, the car is not flooded anymore and starts right away. If it keeps clicking, we'll use the jumper cables. When Aunt Molly leaves after dinner this Sunday, I'll take you outside when she's starting her car." "I'm scared. It'd be like Grandpa George. He breathed just like that car before he died." "Car ain't a person. The battery dies, you can charge it up or buy a new one. Can't do that with a person. Thing is, if her car battery dies, it ain't gonna hurt you. Be brave, Sunday, and you'll see that Aunt Molly has a car that's hard to start. Nothing more." Sonny ran outside and cried. He lay down between some bushes. Dry leaves rustled next to him. Then he heard a rattle. He lay stone still, but the rattle drew closer and seemed to come from his right. He looked that direction and saw something long and skinny crawling toward him. Sonny jumped up and kicked the object as hard as he could. A snake flew into the air and landed 10 feet away. Sonny ran to the house, his heart racing like a fast car engine. When it slowed a little, he felt brave. A little boy who could kick a snake, especially one with a rattle, could handle a car that didn't start. Aunt Molly walked out the back door on Sunday afternoon, after saying goodbye to the group of relatives gathered for Sunday dinner. Sonny followed Aunt Molly, Mama, and Daddy to the front door. Mama looked at Sonny. "You going to be able to deal with watching Molly start that car?" Daddy held Sonny's hand and said, "Think you can handle seeing Aunt Molly off?" "I know I can," Sonny said. "I don't want you to go outside with me. Don't watch me either. I'm a big boy and I'm brave now." "Good," Mama said. "I'm back to washing those mess of dishes." She went to the kitchen, leaving Daddy standing at the door with Sonny and Aunt Molly. Daddy smiled. "I'm proud of you, son. I promise I won't watch you." Sonny turned around and followed Aunt Molly as she went outside. "You better stop growing or you'll be as tall as a giant," she said. "See you next Sunday." She hugged Sonny. Sonny watched as she stepped into the car, shut the door, and put the key in the starter slot. She took a pack of gum out of her purse, pulled out a stick, and put it in her mouth. Then she turned the ignition. Wah, 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 wah. She stopped turning, and Sonny heard her pump the gas pedal. "Daddy said you'll flood the car," Sonny said. Aunt Molly turned around and said, "Don't worry, it always starts. I gotta give it more gas," she said, and pumped the pedal again when she turned the key. Wah, 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 Oh. Suddenly the sound stopped. Aunt Molly grabbed her throat with both hands. A weak sound, midway between a squeak and a click, escaped her lips. Sonny imagined the car turning to dust and remembered Grandpa George's clicking as air passed through his dead throat. He froze as Aunt Molly began to turn blue. When he tried to cry for help, his voice died in his own throat. Then there was no sound at all other than the wind rustling the leaves of a pear tree. A gust brushed Sonny's hair like the touch of a cold, dead hand. For a moment he thought he saw Aunt Molly's face rot off, leaving behind a hideous skull. Sonny caught his breath, closed his eyes, and realized she got that gum caught in her throat. At the same time, he remembered his facing the snake. He grabbed the candle of the car door. It opened easily. Aunt Molly leaned over, looking as she were about to pass out. Sonny slapped her back hard with his small hands. A gob of gum flew out and stuck below the dashboard. Aunt Molly gasped, gulped in air, and her breathing became more regular. Her color changed from blue to pink. Sonny and Aunt Molly both took deep breaths, and Sonny smiled. Aunt Molly turned the key. The car started. The engine hummed.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe, sometime in the near future, it might be you.